Elliot, this week we had some interesting things happen. The most interesting, though, was in Valorant.
As it usually is.
Where we, Valorant Los Angeles champion started. And day one, there's controversy already with a player that plays for the team Evil Geniuses, famed Evil Geniuses, obviously, who decided during a match to teabag and shoot at the ground where the opponent's body would have been, in which all of Twitter, including Counter-Strike Twitter, went a little, we don't have teabagging in our game, trash talking should not be there.
Yeah, it was this was like one person tweeting it out, calling it disrespectful, and then everyone falling over themselves to talk about how it's okay.
No, it always
happens.
The best bit was everyone in Counter Strike talking about, look at this fucking Valorant game. They're teabagging, they're shooting their teammates. Where Device and Monezzi are just waving at each other, like we're so wholesome.
Obviously, just mock it. But it's like, yeah, you know, if you ever see somebody say like, depression isn't real or something, you'll just see like thousands of quotes of everyone's like falling over themselves to talk about how real it is, and it's like, yeah, no, like I got it the first time. I understand that this person's a bit silly the first time I saw this tweet. Stop giving them attention. It's what they want.
Darn, we're here kind of giving them attention, whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah, how bad, honestly.
Yeah, that's on us. We got a banger show picked up for today. We've got talking about Cologne. We'll be talking about the Valve franchising verdict that came down. We'll be talking about a bunch of teams that have new teams and players that don't have the same team. And we will talk about our favorite thing, the business of esports at one point. Until then, roll the intro. Welcome to Overtime Inferno. My name is Logan Ramhap. This is AZ Ask. Let's get right into it. We want to start with the biggest story from this past week. The Cologne qualifiers finished up. The Cologne finals.
The Cologne qualifiers. Qualifiers to Blast World Final, IEM Cologne.
I have IEM Sydney on my brain, which the qualifiers are later today as we record on Wednesday. But we're talking about Cologne finals, which, if you didn't catch, kind of a banger, at least for a little bit. Best of five.
I've seen some people kind of talking, like saying the grand final was a bit of a letdown. Map one was a bit of a letdown because it was one-sided, but it was still like, you still get to watch G2 just like destroy again. The quarters were a bit of a letdown. The semis were great. And the final was pretty good.
Yeah, so let's start back in the quarters. We'll start with Heroic and Astralis. This was the biggest letdown, in my opinion.
Yeah, Heroic just didn't show up on stage.
Yeah, I think everyone forgot for a bit that like, oh, Heroic's the number one team in the world. Oh, they're so good. Heroic also just don't win anything.
Yep. Stalin just doesn't show up on stage. It's really sad. Yeah. Because he's so good normally, and then he just, like every quarterfinal, every semifinal, it's just like he just doesn't take over the game in the same way he does
in a group normally. Stage. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so sad.
There's not much more to say about this because Astralis just looked good.
Yeah, they did. Their Ancient looks unstoppable until G2 just stopped it, I guess. They never looked like losing at any point, and then the G2 just rolled them over on it.
Yeah, so then...
G2 are just the best team in the world, I guess.
Astralis played G2 in the semis, and the Ancient was brought in like right away number one, and G2 just stopped it.
G2 just beat
them. So it looks like G2 is the best Ancient team in the world. Then it's Astralis, and then it's everyone else, and it's kind of a
I think G2 are just the best team in the world.
We'll talk about that. Let's get through the final, and then we'll double back on important bits to talk about from this event. So the other side of the bracket, the other quarterfinals, was Vitality, who I think everyone was basically convinced was actually the best team in the world before this event. Going up against the full Cloud9 roster with Axile, got into Cologne like 2 days before this and was able to start like practicing with the team and stuff. This Cloud9 roster needs more time. They need a little bit more time to cook, I think. But we saw there were definite sparks of like, holy shit, look at this thing.
Eventually, so again, like, Cloud9's issue has been for a while that Axile, much like Stown, isn't as good on stage as he is normally.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it just feels like it's going to click for him. But who knows? That might be their issue. But like, Electronic is... Perfecto is just so cold that doesn't matter. Like, he's not affected by the stage. Electronic's been on enough stages now that that's not going to affect him. So they might be the Heimlich maneuver that Cloud9 need. And if you remember, Astralis were famous for choking, and then once they won once, that was it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Cloud9 lineup, right? You said Perfecto and Electronic. You also forget that Hobbit won a major on a stage.
Well, quite. Like, right.
Like, so Hobbit himself is fine with this. Shiro has continued to has started to show up in playoffs. There was a point in which we had talked about, like, yeah, Shiro was great during a group stage and then disappeared. But he seems to start to hit his stride a little bit now. So it seems to be just Axile. And there's also a bit of like, oh, maybe Axile would have hit his playoff mark if he had played the entirety of the group stage of Cologne and didn't have visa issues and they didn't play with Buster the whole time. Hence this team needs to cook for a bit. Totally new system. Axile gets thrown in like day of. Like, it's a little bit of a different set than I think everything else would have been.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's really harsh to judge a team off two maps on a stage against one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah,
in their first game,
the reigning major champions who literally only got better.
Yeah,
like,
well,
let's talk about the semifinals, and we'll talk about how we talk about better here. Ence had an absolutely mega tournament.
Ence are just really good, man.
They were really good through the group stage. They made their way to the bye for the semifinals. Then they beat Vitality. It was a close first two maps. Like, that, this series was super fun to watch because you watch the first two maps and you get to the third map and where you hit halftime and you see the little Chiron on the side that goes, "We have played every round possible so far in this game." And that third map, that Vertigo, for a second it looked like we were going to play every round. And then some
Pius Ence won some like crazy retakes on Vertigo.
And then
you just could tell they were more comfortable on the map than Vitality because they were just comfortable going for these 4v5 retakes and winning them.
Yeah, the problem for Vitality in Vertigo was not just that Ence was like hitting these crazy retakes and stuff, is Sun Pius just became the best player in the world.
So Sun Pius was insane on Nuke. Vertigo, he was good, but it was like Madden was doing to Zywoo what Cypher did to Zywoo at the Major. There was like a talk of Zywoo being like this insane Vertigo rifler for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best rifler in the world on Vertigo, even when he's not AWPing. He's not.
Nope.
He just isn't. Like, nope. He's... Madden just clearly noticed the same thing that Cypher did. That against this sort of aggression, literally one-man aggression, Zywoo just is just getting picked every time. He got picked like four times in that first half by Madden or some players. The one where some players just ran up ramp and scoped on sandbags and killed him, scandalous.
Yeah,
I'd be so angry if I was over.
So, a little bit of an insane stat, because I've seen this stat before, but I generally see it in like group stage games and shit. I don't see it in semifinals, which is some players was plus 30 on kill deaths for the series.
Yeah.
The Vertigo game, he was 24-9 after dropping a 30 bomb on Nuke. Like, Sun Pius was on one.
He was winning every opening duel as well. I mean, obviously he has
I think he was like 22-1 for the series or some shit. It was some stupid like statistic. I want to see if I can try and find it, but he was plus 18 on first kills.
Yeah,
which is insane. That's so dumb.
Do it with a rifle, I'll be impressed.
I mean,
do it with a rifle. Like, the impact he had was crazy.
Still, you get out, you're going up against Zywoo at every possibility.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think as well, Sun Pius' rifling was actually very good. Like,
he was,
when they ran 5 AKs, he was fragging with it.
And they were running 5 AKs. It wasn't that he was, it wasn't Searson angle. It wasn't like put the op in his hands at every given moment. It felt like they were pulling it out when necessary. I think they actually specifically on T-Side Vertigo, they were not bringing it out often.
They did it a couple times.
They did it a couple times, but I don't think it was a, like, every round he had the money for it, they went for it. I think they did bring it out.
For a guy who was famous for having weak T-sides and insane CT-sides, he was unbelievable on the T-side of this event. He's like, his rating was actually higher on the T-side than the CT-side, which I think is true of every Ents player, because their CT-sides were not good and their T-sides are insane, at least until playoffs. So they seem to have fixed Sun Pius' one issue, but then he didn't really show up in the final.
So. Yeah, so the final ended up being Ents G2, was a best of five.
I think we could talk about G2 Astralis as well. I just want to talk about, if we go back to that Ancient and G2 beat them,
mm-hmm.
Blame F's baiting in that series was absolutely scandalous. Outrageous baiting. There was the round on Inferno in a 2v4 where he sent in Device to die, one tapped the guy Coffin, and then went and saved. Just for no reason. Several times he would rotate to B. There was one he tried to flash in Borup and Buzz, and he missed the flash and they swung and died. He had 5 kills at the half, got a pistol round ace, and then 4 eco kills, and they got 1 gun round kill for the entire half. I was counting. Because
you were there,
you know, I knew somebody was going to say, oh, look, you know, look at Blame F. Like, what's he going to look? What more could he do? He was the top fragger. Watch that game back and see what he does on gun rounds. Because it's nothing.
Where's the Kassad tweet about watching Hooksie? Can we start this with Blame F?
I was watching Blame F.
I was watching
you turn Buzz into a lackey.
Take responsibility and stop baiting.
And you know, he calls around himself, and if you call around yourself, you have to frack, because you're forcing everyone to dance to your tune.
Mm-hmm.
So it better be a good tune. But I mean, Device is still mustard. He's still good.
He's so good. He's so good. And it pains me to say that. Like, it really does. But, like, he's so good.
The game does look very easy when he plays it.
Yeah. Any other effects? The grand final. It was a grand final. I mean, like,
it was
a good end three maps.
Nico has now finally had the grand finals he's supposed to have, quote unquote.
Yeah.
He's now won Katowice and Cologne, and he was very, very good in all of it. He was, you know, he won the MVP. I spoke to Harry, and he basically said it was very close between him and Monacy. And if you look closely enough, Monacy actually has a very good claim to it. But I think it probably should have been Nico.
It was. Yeah.
But Monacy on map 4 was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Ancient,
yes,
right?
It was Ancient.
And he was just everywhere. He was just winning every duel, multi kill after multi kill after multi kill, especially on the CT side. I think he finished on like 29 kills or something on map 4 in the biggest map. Like, Monacy was just insane. And what Sun Pius did to Zywu, Monacy did to Sun Pius.
Yeah.
Tells you how impressive it is. The kid's fucking 18 still. How is he this good? It's so infuriating.
So Ents did end up losing 1-3. The Ancient was felt a little one-sided when you were watching. I don't know if it, like, it was a 9-16 game. It felt one-sided. Ents felt like they could get a couple rounds, but nothing major. It didn't feel like they were constantly able to get it. The Anubis, I thought, was a really good map, not just because Ents won and it turned the series back, but I felt like it was just a legitimately good map of Counter-Strike to watch.
Snappy just decided he wasn't getting swept.
Yeah.
He was just like, no. If nobody else is, if you want a job done properly, you got to do it yourself. He was charging into sites and getting, like, just taking two heads off. Like, who was not familiar with your game.
Apparently not. But Mirage and New kind of felt the same way that Ancient did. It felt like the G2 show, and it felt like Ents could get a couple rounds here and there, but it never felt like they could really pull something together.
Yeah,
especially like, on their T sides.
Yeah, I felt like they never put together a convincing streak of rounds in any map. Like, it always felt like the rounds Ents won were hinging on, like you know, they were teetering on the edge of one or loss. Whereas when G2 won, it often felt like they just ran over them.
Yeah, it felt like the only map that they were able to get something going on T side was Anubis.
Yeah.
And that was just because Snappy was absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
So.
And even then, they were, like, falling apart at the end.
Yeah.
It was getting a bit sketchy.
Yeah, it did get close. So, takeaways from this event that we want to bring up. You mentioned earlier G2, the number one team in the world, question mark?
I think so. So, if you come at it from two, like, there have essentially been three big events this year. The major, IM Cologne and IM Katowice. G2 have won two of them with the same roster. And not really looked in danger of not winning either of them. They didn't drop a series in Cologne. They 3-1 the final in pretty convincing fashion.
Yep.
Katowice, they were absurdly dominant.
I think the problem, and I know that we're talking about a current best team in the world, but if we pull in historical data, the problem is, did G2 make the major?
Well, yeah, but of the three big events, they've won two of them.
Yeah.
If you want to talk, historical.
They've won two of them and also didn't qualify to the third. I'm not saying that it shouldn't really look into the, is G2 right now the best team in the world, but there is a high ceiling and somewhat ridiculously low floor for this team, because if one or two players aren't on, it feels like this team's kind of doomed and not pointless, but directionless. And it feels like there's definitely times where it looks like this team is worse than the sum of their parts. And
but Vitality would be the only ones who could play.
No, I actually agree. I think that G2 is the best team in the world right now.
And G2 beat them.
Yeah, we just need to.
And Vitality lost to Ents, who G2 beat soundly.
We need to play a little devil's advocate here.
We do, but G2 are the best team in the world.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably G2, Vitality, and then I think it's Ents after.
Yeah, it might be G2, Ents, Vitality. It's probably G2, Vitality, Ents.
Top five's weird. When you get to the 4-5 slot, I don't even know who to talk about.
The really fun question is, who's the fifth best team in the world?
Fuck if I know.
I think it's Astralis.
See, my problem is I think it's Heroic. I think Astralis is the fourth best team in the world.
Maybe.
And that's not, and I'm not trying to just pull recency bias of like, oh, look, Astralis just beat Heroic. But like, I think Astralis have shown in the last, like, what, two events that they have a legitimately good foundation that they can go off of. And past that point, that maybe that they'll be able to do something with it. And this I've seen this Heroic team for like what, a year and a half now, and they still haven't gotten over their fact that they can't win shit unless it's a blast event at the end of the season.
Yeah, but they were also second in the world for that year.
Yeah, but they couldn't win shit.
They're jealous about one good event.
They can't win shit. That's the problem.
Yeah, but like over a series of events, Heroic will.
Do you know
them.
The last three events that Heroic won?
Pro League.
There's one after Pro League.
League.
It's Pinnacle Cup 22, Blast Fall Final 22, and Spring Final 23. It's just, they win events that don't matter. The last event that they really won was Pro League Season 13 in 2021.
What was the last event Astralis won?
I don't know, I give Astralis a little bit more.
Exactly.
It's a new team, it's a little different for me, but... And by the way, the last event Astralis won was when they beat Liquid in IEM Global Challenge, and I didn't need to look that up because I remember that was when Twist retired immediately following the grand final.
Yeah.
It was a weird event. Not retired. He said he was leaving Team Liquid. I don't know why I said retired. All right. We have other things we need to talk about. Valve. They came out with a thing. As I'm going to be really very vague as I pull up the article.
It's called CS2. It's out now.
Okay.
It's not.
Why is everything that I Google to find this the Jake Lucky link? I want the actual blog post. Jesus Christ. Okay. CSGO blog, it's there, or it was. I don't know where. I'm gonna talk out of my ass and just say what it is.
They basically have said no more franchising, lads.
Yeah,
it's Jova.
They said you have two ways of for tier one events. They didn't say for tier. I don't think they said for tier two, and I don't think there's a strong definition on tier one.
It's probably prize pool would be the definition that Valve would use. It's the most objective way of doing it.
So they came out and said that there's two ways to get into an event. Your choices are invite based on Valve's rankings or open qualifiers. That's it. So what everyone has extrapolated from that is that there cannot be the semi-franchise leagues like ESL has and more so like Blast has. Blast is actually a franchise league. And that teams will only be able to be invited based on the Valve rankings and on the open qualifier system. So ESL won't have a huge issue making the shift. Apparently, according to, I don't know if it's Carmack or one of the other folks ever at ESL.
I believe it was Ulrich.
Basically, they've been working off this to a degree anyway. They invite based on ESL ranking and open qualifiers. And I think you can do a mix of both. I think that mm-hmm.
I would imagine so.
I would assume that that's legal. You can do a mix. So they've been doing off ESL ranking and open qualifiers. They'll just switch over to Valve ranking and open qualifiers. It's not that huge of a deal. The issue is when it comes to like, what is it, the ESL franchising, the ESL Pro League, which is the more franchise league with the Louvre agreement, that becomes a little bit more questionable. But we'll see how. We'll see how that works. The big note for this will not take place until 2025 because of current contracts that teams have with Blast and ESL respectively. And so this means a couple of things. One, we will never see Flashpoint again in the same way. Not that we were ever going to really see Flashpoint anyway, but
We certainly weren't going to see Flashpoint again.
We weren't really going to see
Flashpoint. But it's a copycat,
Some kind of, exactly. That same kind of ideal for Flashpoint, because it's just not a thing anymore. It really won't be the same way. The specific wording was tournament organizer partnerships. If you want to go look right now, there is a GitHub page for Counter-Strike that has the regional standings on it. They actually very easily show you there is a model on how they do it with observed win rate versus expected win rate. They state that they're going to keep improving the model, which they have. It was really bad the first couple of times that they put it out. They've gotten a lot better. It's not perfect. For example, 9Z is leading the America standings. It'll get better.
Look. I'm not saying 9Z are the best team in the America, but you'd be hard-pressed to tell me who is.
I wouldn't say that Complexity is the 16th best team in the Americas and that Bestia is better than Nouns, Pain, Furia, and M80.
No. Okay. But also, the distinction doesn't matter because they're all pretty bad.
Yeah. No, I think 9Z is probably fine. I just... There is definitely some growing room. The fortunate bit is they have a year and a half to perfect it.
Yeah.
This is more of an announcement for saying, hey, don't fucking try and renew your shit. Don't try and sign new teams to the contract without knowing that they're over in 2025. You need to start thinking about how to change your business plan at this point. To have no more Louvre agreement, no more partner teams. And they've got a year and a half to fix the Valve ranking, which, again, Europe, pretty fucking good. Asia, not bad. The Americas one needs work.
I mean, that's also true of the Counter-Strike in the region.
Yeah.
Europe, pretty good. Asia is actually not bad now.
Well, the problem with
Americas needs a lot of work.
The problem with the Americas one is there's a bunch of like smaller tournaments in South America that get counted into this. So 9Z have like a million more wins just because they play a lot more tournaments, because North America has fuck all right now. Like there's definitely issues I have with the Asia ranking. Specifically, Lin Vision is above Mongols, but we'll survive. Also, that Timbermin is over on the Asia rankings, which is hilarious. Because they have three players.
Yes. Yeah, well, some might argue sort of complexity.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we have some more things on the list. Do you have any other thoughts about franchising before we finish franchising?
I like the open circuit, so
yep.
I'm down for this.
I'm big for this. I think there are definitely naysayers that basically say tournaments will die. I don't think that's
true. Some of them might. New ones will pop up,
yeah,
I imagine.
I don't think that that's
whether it's demand, supply will rise.
Yeah. We've seen basically fully open circuit work in Dota.
We've seen it work in CS.
That's a good point. It had previously worked in CS.
We had it.
Yeah. So I like where this is going. I'm in. All right. Next thing on our list, Into the Breach. The new roster for Into the Breach with Bemis and Neofrag in for Volt and Cypher. Suddenly, no longer has Neofrag. There was a article put out about it.
He said he made some distasteful jokes. They basically said there was an irreconceivable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Irreconcilable differences in like their beliefs and
yeah,
things like that. You could read between your lines and try and figure out what that means. We probably shouldn't.
No, we're not going any further than that.
He's basically said something he shouldn't, and they've gotten rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows who they're. Well, no, that's a lie. Somebody knows who their new player is going to be. I don't.
Yeah. And before you ask, no, it's not Cypher, or at least it doesn't seem to be.
No, he's
playing the IEM Sydney Open with the supposed TSM roster and also Exitas, which is its own bit of wondering because.
Are they signing for TSM or are they signing for someone else?
Because they see...
Are they signing for iBuyPower?
iBuyPower has put some jersey ideas out. There's some rumblings going on. I don't want to spend any more time on that than that because it's just rumblings, but...
Yeah. And anything else we say on Neofrag might be potentially libelous. So.
Yeah, let's not do that. All right.
Read between the lines yourselves. You'll figure it out.
Yep. All right. Next on our list. This is a very grab bag episode. Actually, before we get to the next thing on our list... We're introducing something new for next week that we're going to put right here in the middle of the episodes. That way we do it. You can leave us voice messages through Spotify.
Oh, yes.
Or on our website, which we will link to, but I definitely know Spotify. You can leave us voice messages. And what we want to do next week, because we've got time in between this and Gamers 8, which we're unsure how much we're really going to cover because it's Gamers 8 and who really cares. Because we have time between now and Pro League, we're going to do an episode where we answer your guys' questions, but we're not going to answer them from Twitter or anything. We want to do them from voice memos, so that way we can play them and we can hear what you say, and then we'll talk about it. And we're going to listen to them ahead of time, so that way we actually have reasonable answers, or we won't listen to them ahead of time, so we have the stupidest answers. We'll decide which one it is at that moment.
I think the latter is funnier.
I think the latter is definitely funnier, but we'll see.
Just don't say anything that we might have to cut out.
Yeah. So make sure to go through. You can definitely go through Spotify. I'm like 98% sure you can go through our website. We'll put both in the video description on YouTube and the Spotify, Apple Podcasts podcast description. But go and do that. So that way we have some content for next week. Okay.
Yeah. Make our content for us.
Exactly. Astralis. As of yesterday, so that would be Tuesday, Astralis had formerly been trading on the NASDAQ First North Growth Market Denmark Index. Basically, it means that Astralis was a publicly traded company with shareholders. You could buy a share of Astralis in Denmark, the same way you can buy a share of FaZe in the United States. Same way you can buy... There's a couple other teams that have the same thing. I think Luminosity is... you can buy a stock of, I think, in Canada, but I'm not certain. The price was dropping a metric shit ton. It started off in their IPO is like 8.95 Danish coins. I don't know what the...
Krona.
Danish krona, which is like $1.33, but it's dropped to 0.894. So it is 1/10 of its former value. So they have adopted today to delist from the index.
God, I love esports finances.
Yeah, which basically means the entire bit off this is that Astralis is becoming a privately held company again. They've met financial targets. They say that they're cash flow positive. The reason that this is a story is because we see across esports different companies having issues with cash flow. There's a report today in Valorant from George Geddes that said that basically every single North American Valorant team is going to decrease all of their costs for next year. So player salaries going lower, team salary, like everything was just going to like drop. There's been conversation within the LCS that that teams were going to start to be offering basically to most players the minimum salary. They would not be spending like these absolutely massive amounts anymore on players. There's conversations within Sentinels that they have to like crowdfund the rest of their year or some shit, or they can like pull certain investor levers, but it makes more sense. The point is be on the lookout because it seems that there's a lot of teams that are slowly dipping into the running out of money pool, which is to be expected when we're in the time of like people are sponsoring less and less esports events and stuff. But yeah, it's just something to be on the lookout for.
Yeah, turns out spending far too much on players, staff, and getting no revenue is just generally bad.
Yeah,
I mean, Astralis have been trying to, sell, like their LEC spot. I think did they do it in the end? I can't remember.
No, they still have an LEC slot, but I think that that it's supposed to sell this offseason. For what it's worth, in a fully franchised league, in between the LEC and the LCS, we've seen 4 slots of the 10 of the 20 total change hands in the last year. For like $30 million, I think is the rough average per spot that had been sold. And I think Astralis is asking closer to $40 million for their spot, but
just cut and run, lads.
Yeah. They're
just cut and run.
We'll see how it goes through. That's our esports business moment of the week. Just put like a ring at the SpongeBob imagination.
We know so much about esports business.
Yes, extreme businessmen, finance bros.
Let's
talk about Godsent. This was one that you wanted to talk about because they're back.
Yeah, because this might be the worst roster I've ever seen. you know how Sweden has had a bit of a dearth of players.
Yeah.
You've seen NIP try and build a roster and just end up going with a Finn, a Dane.
There used to be
a Ukrainian.
3 Swedish teams at the same time that were full Swedish. It used to be Fnatic, NIP, and Godsent. All Swedish. Yeah. They were all pretty decent.
Yeah, now NIP are a mix. It's sort of Swedish. Fnatic aren't even remotely. They got 1 Swedish player.
It's just
Godsent went Brazilian for a bit. It went back Swedish. Listen to this roster. Golden. August of 2023, they're
playing,
golden,
playing, not as a coach, playing.
Yep. ZTR, who was the in-game leader of Young Ninjas, who we've seen play, not good
on old ninjas.
Yeah, I mean he's not horrendous, but he's an in-game leader, so is Golden. Plopsky,
who we've seen play on,
we know isn't good. Hype, who I don't know, but I believe one of him or the wonderfully named Bob XD, one of these two is an in-game leader, because I saw somebody say this roster has 3 in-game leaders.
So Bob,
they might have been bullshitting. I think Hype is an AWPer, but
Bob XD and Hype both played for the former 00 Nation Prospects roster, which was just called Prospects in all.
Yeah, because they were originally called 00 Prospects. And that just seemed really disrespectful, so they changed it to Prospects. Just that's why.
Prospects!
Because they were called 0 Prospects, which is just really, really disrespectful. Golden, ZTR, and Plopsky on the same roster. How is the team ever going to win a game?
Unsure. unsure.
Yeah, that's the reason I wanted to talk about it, because this team just looks awful. Like, Golden hasn't even been playing recently. He was the coach who's been moved back to a player role. He wasn't a good fragger when he was good.
Yeah.
This team is pretty doomed. I'm not going to say my hopes are low for this team, because I actually kind of want to watch them play, because I do feel like it would be
funny.
Can
we watch... I need to watch the Swedish national team here go up against the Danish national team of whatever team MSL is playing on now.
MSL is, I think, currently teamless. AZ is back on Sashi Esport,
okay,
being coached by Hunden.
There we go.
Which
that
is a real
team.
Shame.
That's, we need the Nick. Old derby, the old Danish versus Swedish derby. We need that.
I will say AZ is currently playing with a player called Nut.
Perfect.
So there you go. Just thought you should know.
All right. Our next team move thing is the entire Rare Atom lineup has departed its organization. So Rare Atom, which is the team that was formerly Vici, because Vici went through a rebrand to Rare Atom.
Yeah.
So the team did not re-sign their contracts. It wasn't that they left in the middle of the contract. They just didn't re-sign. So they're all teamless right now. Is Advent, Kaze, Jamyoung, Mercury, and Mosia.
They're like the second or third, well, probably the third best team in Asia.
I actually think right now, based on Valve rankings, they are the best team in Asia.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we? They are a good team, and even if you don't like them as a whole team, some of the pieces in this team, mm-hmm. Mercury, Mosia, Jamyoung, all excellent. Yep. Advent, as a talent finder, mm-hmm. is phenomenal. His in-game leading, not always brilliant, and mechanically he's not great.
Yeah.
But he found Mercury and Mosia in like Pogs, yeah. and they're some of the best players in the region.
Yeah.
So from this team surely will find another home.
Well, not only will they find another home, Rare Atom has also said that they're not withdrawing from Chinese Counter-Strike. So there will be an actual Rare Atom team. Which is even...
Rumor is...
Even better.
They're bringing back somebody. One of my favorite players of all time.
Who are they bringing back?
Somebody who used to be on Tai
Lu. But who?
No, I know, but I've got to explain for the audience. I know you're joking, because I can see your face, but some people can't see your face. Somebody who used to be on Tai Lu. I love him. He's a complete maniac.
By the way...
When people talk about Tai Lu playing, like, the most insane brand of Counter-Strike, he was the biggest offender.
I'm sorry, I just looked up Tai Lu. Have you looked at the Tai Lu roster recently?
They've got like Letney, haven't they?
No, as a coach. Well, yes, they have Letney as a coach, but it's even worse because they changed it 2 months ago. This went under the lines in roster
I think I've seen it, and it's the most cursed roster I've ever seen.
Slowly and Freeman. So Slowly's been there for like a million years. He was there when Summer
Freeman's
was there,
a beast
Attacker
as well.
Was there. Dan King was there, who's my favorite Chinese player.
Oh no, not even close.
Nah, Dan King is mine. You can say whoever you want, but Dan King is mine. No, wait. Who was the first guy on this roster?
Captain Mo.
Bring back Captain Mo.
Captain Mo. Two things I love most about Captain Mo. I'll boil it down to just two. One, he was called Mo until he became the in-game leader, and then changed his name to Captain Mo. I love that. Absolutely love that. Second, I swear to God he hit more 1D than he did AWP shots. He would like miss an AWP shot, switch to his deagle and 1D them every time. He couldn't AWP.
So
I love him so much.
So he's actually still playing. He's 34 years old. He is still playing.
What a guy.
He is playing for a Chinese team called Steel Helmet with somebody.
Yes. Rare actually just signed them.
I'm in. They're the 90th ranked team in the world. I'm in.
They might be the 90th ranked team in China for all I care. Get me.
Slowly and Freeman, which makes sense, right? Freeman is from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Hong Kong. Slowly's from mainland China. They have Roga, who is a Serbian player, Croatian player who formerly played for Partizan.
Okay. Partizan Belgrade.
They have Emmy, who formerly played for...
Oh, God, yeah, I did know that.
And Crazy.
Yeah,
and
that's what I meant when I said Letney.
No, they still have Letney coaching.
Yeah, but I think I meant Emmy even in the team.
Who was a Serbian player. And then they have Score from IHC.
What? This team is insane. And I don't mean that in like a... This is a... Oh, this seems incredible. No, this team is legitimately insane. It's like a randomly generated team.
they really did.
It's amazing.
They technically qualify as an Asian team because Score, Slowly, and Freeman are all they all hit in the Asian region. We're gonna take a closer look on this team at a later date, specifically whenever they play a game, because I need to watch this with my own two eyes.
I don't think I want to see it. I'm not sure.
They play against NKT at 6 a.m. my time.
Oh, NKT is a mental team as well.
I love
NKT. Is like, it's BN Tet's team.
Yeah, it's Ben Tet's team.
A bunch of other players you've sort of heard of, Exile and stuff.
Yeah, it's the Asian super team. It's a Engine.
It's not an Engine, Asian super team.
Gratis Faction.
It's not an Engine super. It's not a super team.
That's a good point. It doesn't have Captain Mo on it.
It doesn't have Captain Mo. It doesn't have Jam Young. It doesn't have Freeman. Doesn't have somebody.
It does have Ben Tet, who I think people would put in the upper echelon, at least.
No, he doesn't break my top 10. Techno 4K gets in well before he does.
All right, let's finish talking about this. We have one more thing on the list, which is the internet has finally realized that Spirit may actually be good at finding talent.
People knew, but like, I need to watch some more of them. Because if you haven't already seen this, pause the podcast
right now
and go and look at Donk. Go and look at his HLTV page and just observe the sea of green.
Yeah.
He is putting up, like, he's gone up from the academy team to the main team and his rating hasn't moved.
Yeah.
He's frying. And his rating in the academy team was insane. Like, they beat Virtus Pro yesterday as we're recording this. And he dropped 69 kills, top fragger in the server by at least 15 kills.
Yeah, 1.3
with
rating.
Plus 10 first kills and a 1.3 rating. That's against Virtus Pro, who, by the way, smacked Aurora today. Like, this new Virtus Pro team is not bad.
Yeah.
He dropped a 1.4 against MIBR, 1.4, like, 7 or something against Zero Tenacity, a 1.6 something against Movistar in two maps. Like, he is destroyed Bad News Eagles. This kid is the dog's bollocks.
Yeah,
I think.
But he only dropped a 1.3 against America's Hope Evil Geniuses, so who cares?
Yeah. That's because the game was over too quickly.
It's 16-7, because Arcross dropped a 1.76. The other new player.
I just checked. Artfrost went 42-13. Evil Geniuses.
Yeah, he dropped a
Hex went 12-36.
Dropped a 1.45 against Bad News Eagles. Dropped a 1.27 against Saw. Basically, guy's the real deal.
They might be the new Gambit.
They might be the new Spirit.
They might be. Well, quite. But like,
sorry, the new Vega Squadron.
Donk is 16 years old.
Yeah.
He's quite possibly... Oh, whoa. Like, he's not... The thing is, he's not even the best 16-year-old Russia has ever seen. I went to say, like, oh, maybe he's, like, the best 16-year-old ever seen. He's not even the best 16-year-old to ever come out of Russia. This is just another one on the conveyor belt. Like, Spirit are... They're gonna be a... danger. They are going to be really, really scary. This kid is insane, dude.
All right.
Just watch. Watch and observe and learn.
All right. That's where we're going to end it for this week. As a reminder, make sure to send us voice memos. There will be something in the description that says how you do that. Again, website or through Spotify or Anchor page, which we'll link it all to make sure that you guys are able to send them in. We'll be back next week with our voice memo show. You can find us on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck it's called today at AZESC, at Logan Music, at BTR.